James Comey, the former director of the FBI, in his compelling book, A Higher Loyalty, describes how in an earlier part of his career, he worked as a lawyer. He talks about how he called a man named Francesco Manoia to the witness stand to testify against mobster boss John Gambino. On the witness stand, Francesco Manoia explained the complicated rule that mafia members were forbidden to reveal themselves as members of La Cosa Nostra. Manoia explained that he and other members of the mafia family had been assigned to investigate some unauthorized crimes that had taken place on his family's turf. They dutifully rounded up the usual suspects and then zeroed in on two of them. They took the two men to a remote location, and after an intensive interrogation, they concluded that both men were actually innocent. James Comey, the lawyer, asked, "What happened next?" "We killed them," came the matter-of-fact reply. Comey came back, "Why did you do that?" "During our questioning, we had revealed ourselves to be La Cosa Nostra. We could not let them live with that knowledge." James Comey interjected, "So what was the point of questioning them in the first place if you were going to kill them anyway?" Manoia furrowed his placid brow that framed sad eyes and replied, "I do not understand. It was our obligation." James Comey said, "I wish I could say I felt something different when I was in the presence of a mass murderer. In the movie, some foreboding music might play in the background, or the light might dim. But there was none of that. Evil has an ordinary face. It rationalizes. It makes pasta. These killers were people who had crossed an indelible line in human experience by intentionally taking another life. They all constructed their own narrative to explain and justify their killing. None of them saw themselves as bad people. They saw themselves to a person as good people. And to a person, all the mafia members that Comey ever encountered, and there were many, all said the same thing. The first time, killing someone was really, really hard. But after that, not so much." We're in a series right now in the book of Proverbs, exploring what it means to become a wise person. And today we're going to look at how one path leads to more and more darkness. And then we'll look at another path, the path of wisdom, the path of integrity that leads to greater and greater light. According to the scriptures in the book of Romans chapter 1, it's possible to walk a path where our hearts become darkened. In Romans 1:21, we read, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." And similarly, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, we read, "The way of the wicked is like deep darkness." But there is another path, the path of the wise and the righteous. And in the Bible, there is a great deal of overlap between these two words, wise and righteous. There is this other path that leads to light. In Proverbs 4:18, we read these words, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. And we're going to see how one path leads to more and more darkness, and another path leads to greater and greater light. My mother-in-law, Sakiko's mother, who lives in Japan, is a very generous and hospitable person. For a number of years, I remember how she would open up her home in Japan, and by Japanese standards, they had a large home. And she would have senior citizens from the community over to her home. She, my mother-in-law, and a volunteer or two would help prepare a lunch for a group of perhaps 15 or 20 Japanese senior citizens. And afterwards, they would have some kind of arts and crafts activity at a table, or they would have a magician come in and do a magic show, and the seniors just loved it. And across the years, as Sakiko and I would visit her family in Japan, we would meet some of these senior citizens, and we would also connect with some of the volunteers who were helping. One time when we were back, I remember Sakiko telling me in kind of hushed tones that one of the volunteers had changed. She told me that there was a kind of darkness over this person. It wasn't like the volunteer was physically darker because of a suntan. No, it was as if some shadow had fallen over her. She could see the darkness in this person's eyes and countenance. Well, Sakiko approached her mother about this and mentioned her observation. And her mother said, "That's really interesting that you should notice that, because this volunteer has been secretly going into one of our arts and crafts storage closets and stealing our supplies." And her mom said, "It's really too bad, because if she had only asked me, I would have gladly given her as much art and craft supplies as her heart desired." And as we've seen in Scripture, it's possible on a spiritual level to experience the darkening of our hearts. In Romans 1, we read that although they claimed to be wise, their foolish hearts were darkened. Jim Collins is the author of acclaimed books on business leadership like Built to Last and Good to Great. Jim Collins wrote about the crisis of business ethics in the wake of the scandals at companies like Enron. He wrote about how people in the presence of an opportunity to behave differently can sometimes get drawn into scams one step after another. If you told these people 10 years ahead of time, "Hey, let's break the law, let's cook the books, let's cheat senior citizens out of their pensions so that we can become fabulously rich," you know, most people would not go along with that. But when you are at step A, it feels inconceivable to jump all the way to step Z if step Z involves something that is a total breach of your values. However, if you go from step A to step B, and then step B to step C, and then step C to step D, someday you wake up and you discover that you are at step Y, and then the move to step Z comes about much easier. The people who got involved in these scandals weren't necessarily bad at the outset, but through a series of gradual steps, they ended up in bad situations over their heads. And it's true, as Scripture points out, that it's possible to think that you are on some kind of path to becoming wise, but to actually become a fool as your heart is darkened. But there is another way, a better way, a way of wisdom, a way of integrity that enables us to walk on a path that grows brighter and brighter. In Proverbs 4:18, we read, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. And it's possible to turn from a path of darkness and with God's help, do a U-turn and come into a path of light. There was a time in my boyhood and younger adolescence when I felt there was a big advantage to lying. I don't think I thought about this consciously, but that's how I was instinctively living. One time when I was 8 or 9 years old and our family was living in Coquitlam, I remember being in the front yard of our home and throwing a baseball into the air and then running under it and catching it. I would toss that baseball in the air and then field it. And one time I chucked the ball real high, but the ball got away from me and it sailed right into our living room window, shattering it. There was no one around who saw what happened. I remember later that day being in our house, and my mom and I came into the living room, and my mom said, "Ken, did you notice that our living room window has been smashed?" I said, "No, I didn't notice." "Any idea who did it?" I said, "No, yes. I think it was probably one of the bratty neighborhood kids." And I would lie to get out of a jam. After meeting Christ later on in my youth as a teenager, Christ began to change my heart, and I wanted to live as a more honest person. As a new follower of Jesus, someone pointed out to me that there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, one for every day of the month. And this person encouraged me to read the chapter of the Proverbs that corresponded to the day of the month. And so on the 12th day of the month, I remember reading Proverbs 12. And in verse 22, we read, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." Now, I haven't done this perfectly by any means, but God has put a desire in my heart to live in a way that forgoes lying and embraces truth-telling. I haven't done it perfectly, but God has put that desire in my heart. From time to time, I've asked our son Joey, who's now 12 years old, "Joey, have you ever seen me lie to you or to anyone else?" I remember one time he thought about it for a long time. And then he said, "When I was younger, what about what you told me about Santa Claus?" I was like, "Okay, other than that, no, I've never seen you lie." As I was getting ready for this message, I also asked my wife, Sakiko, at our kitchen counter, "Have you ever seen me lie to you or to anyone else?" She thought for a moment and she said, Yes. "When you were trying to talk me into marrying you and to moving to Vancouver from Tokyo, I asked you, 'Is it cold in Vancouver during the winter?' And you said, 'Vancouver must be the warmest place in Canada during the winter.' But that was misleading because Canada is a very cold country. And then I asked you, 'Is Vancouver colder than Tokyo in the winter?' And you said, it's about the same, but that isn't true." And so I asked Google Home Mini on our counter, "What's the average temperature in Vancouver in the winter?" And Google Home Mini replied, "The average temperature in Vancouver in the month of January is a low of 2 degrees Celsius with a high of 10 degrees Celsius. And then I turned to Google Home Mini again and I said, "What's the average temperature in Tokyo in the winter?" And Google replied, "In Tokyo in the month of January, the average low is 2 degrees Celsius, and the average high is 10 degrees Celsius. And so I said, that sounds about the same to me. But she pointed out that it does snow more in Vancouver, and it feels colder in the winter here. I haven't done it perfectly, but I have sought with God's help to become a truth-telling person. And as I have walked this path with God's help, I have found more light has fallen on this way. Now, I recognize that there are times when it feels really inconvenient and embarrassing to tell the truth. And there are times when it's just plain difficult. But I also see, as I seek to walk this path with God's help, that there are good and beautiful and joyous gifts on this path. When you tell the truth and you make a commitment to this, you find that there is more trust in relationships. You can say to people, without fear of contradiction, that I will never lie to you. I may get my facts wrong, but I will never intentionally deceive you. There's freedom in that and trust in that. And based on experience, I also know that while it may seem that there can be a short-term advantage to lying, that telling the truth makes life easier, less complex. Abraham Lincoln said, "No man or woman has a good enough memory to be a successful liar." When you lie, you've got to remember what you lied about and then tell other lies to support the original lie. There are gifts to this path of truth-telling. And when you choose this path of truth-telling, you get more light and you begin to see the goodness and beauty of this way more clearly. And when you follow the light in front of you, I've got a little light coming from my phone here as a little illustration. When you follow the light of Scripture, or follow the light of a Holy Spirit-informed conscience, and you keep following that light, you get more light and more light in your path, and you find that you shine ever brighter till the full light of day. Now, if that sounds a little bit abstract to you, let me try to invite you into this path from another angle. One of the ways you can walk down the path of light is to ask yourself the question, what would a wise person do in this situation? James Clear, in his very practical and actionable book, Atomic Habits, describes a friend who lost more than 100 pounds by simply asking herself the question, what would a healthy person do? All day long, she'd use this question as a guide. Would a healthy person take a taxi or walk? Would a healthy person order a burrito or a salad? She figured if she acted like a healthy person long enough, she would become that person. And she was right. And we can ask ourselves, what would a wise person do? And then act on the light that we receive from God, and we will grow wise. Now, a large part of the path of wisdom, according to the Proverbs, is learning to trust God. And for some of you, a favorite proverb is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where we're called to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. And so if you want to grow as a person of wisdom who trusts God, you could ask yourself the question, what would a person who trusts God do in a particular situation? So if you tend to be a hardworking person, busy, achievement-oriented, who values production, who tends to base your worth on what you do, you might consider answering part of that question with the word Sabbath, where you embrace ideally a 24-hour Sabbath where you don't do any work or anything related to your work on that day. Now, to use a biblical image, there may be times when your ox falls into the ditch, so to speak, and it's an emergency and you've got to pull out your ox, in a manner of speaking. But Sabbath can help foster your trust of God. Or if you want to become a person who trusts God with your money, you can ask yourself the question, what would a person who trusts God do? And perhaps part of the answer would be to tithe, to offer the first tenth of your income, the first fruits of your income, to God and to God's work. And to live out the truth that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 6:33, where he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that you need will be added to you as well." Or to paraphrase, seek ye first the kingdom or the reign of God in your life, and his wisdom and all that you need will be supplied to you as well. And as you walk in the path of wisdom by asking, what would a wise person do? What would a person who trusts God do? You will find yourself growing in wisdom and growing in your trust of God. You'll find that more light illuminates your path as you observe what is good and true and beautiful on this path of wisdom, on this path of trusting God. And as you walk this path, you will also identify more as a person who is living with God's wisdom, who is trusting God, and so you'll be more inclined to walk this path. And then finally, as you walk this path, you will find that wisdom enters your heart. In Proverbs 2:10, we read, "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." Now, let me close with this story that I have shared before, but I think that it bears repeating in this context. A number of years ago, as the former Soviet Union was moving into a post-communist era, I was invited to the country of Kazakhstan to give a series of lectures to public school teachers and administrators on how to teach ethics in a post-communist world. These were conferences sponsored by the government. But because I'm a Christian minister, I decided that I would base my remarks on the Ten Commandments. And during my final lecture, at the end of my final talk, I remember standing in front of all of these public school teachers and principals at these government-hosted conferences and saying something like this: "We've been looking at the greatest guide for ethics the world has ever seen in the Ten Commandments. But these will do you and your students no good whatsoever if you don't have a heart and desire to live them out." And then I did something quite controversial. I said to all these teachers and principals, "If you would like the author of the Ten Commandments, the God of the universe, to come and live in you and give you the desire to live out this wisdom, I invite you to pray with me now." And I said, "You don't need to do this. I don't want you to feel any pressure, but if you want, you can pray a prayer like this: Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my life, forgive my sins, show me the path of wisdom and beauty, and give me a longing to walk in this way. Amen." And if you would like to invite or re-invite the author of the greatest guide in the universe, the greatest wisdom the world has ever seen, to give you a longing to walk in the way of goodness and truth and beauty, for the first time or in a fresh way, you can pray with me now. Whether you are at one of our live in-person services or whether you're at home or somewhere else, you can bow your head or bow your heart in a manner of speaking and say, Jesus Christ, come into my life now. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me. And give me a desire to walk in the way of wisdom, the way of truth and beauty. And give me the power to travel this path with you. And may it be so for you, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.